Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. In this podcast, we are going to be discussing one of the most destructive ways we can use our tongue, especially if we continually do it. But also, we will be going over ways on how to overcome this. Let's get started with the tongue series. Lesson 7, the harsh, angry tongue. Why is a harsh, angry tongue ineffective? Proverbs 15, verse 1, in the New American Standard Bible, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In the King James Version, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Let's look at the meaning of some of these words so we can better understand what God is telling us in this verse. Gentle answer means a soft response. Soft, translated in the original language, also means tender-hearted, kind, and showing thoughtfulness in the way we speak. Turns away wrath means to withdraw from wrath by not using harsh words. Wrath. The word translated wrath here means rage. It's a burning anger and indignation that is poisonous in relationships. This type of volatile anger can even lead to physical mistreatment, which should not be done or ever allowed. Harsh or grievous words means to respond with words that are offensive and hurtful. Stirs up anger means to provoke or aggravate another person mentally and emotionally. Anger. In both the Hebrew and Greek, anger means nostrils. This suggests the quick breathing of an enraged person, which includes wrath, fury, indignation, and temper. This can start with being just a little frustrated and then it escalates. This verse is specifically talking about either responding the right way or reacting the wrong way during difficult discussions. We are warned that a harsh tongue is ineffective because it causes more and more anger. But a gentle tongue can be effective because it diffuses anger. Some examples of a soft, gentle tongue. It gives respectful responses because it is using self-control, so a conversation doesn't get out of control. Our personal responsibility is to keep control of our own tongue, even if the other person doesn't. Difficult to do? Absolutely. But God warns us if we don't, then we are promoting anger. A soft, gentle tongue starts conversations with courtesy instead of starting with a frustrated attitude. During a conversation, a soft, gentle tongue has the motive of being peaceful, so more chaos, confusion, and conflict doesn't occur. Remember these P words: polite, patient, and peaceful. This is being proactive in bringing a positive approach because we want to honor God, even in difficult discussions. Remember the C words: compassionate, considerate, and controlled. This is calming in challenging conversations. Even if the other person is being harsh and angry, we can still calm ourselves by choosing God's way on how to handle hard situations. So just a note, softness, gentleness, calmness, and politeness are not signs of weakness. Rather, it is a sign of self-control which takes strength of character. Anyone can display anger, but not everyone will be committed to surrendering to God's way of not talking with harshness and anger. Our sinful human nature wants to give in to what we want to say and how we want to say it because it makes sense to us to do so. Therefore, we need God's help in creating a gentle tongue that pleases Him instead of ourselves. And we just keep asking Him to help us with that. Some examples of a harsh, offensive, grievous tongue. A harsh tongue is rude and ruthless, callous and cruel. It causes hurt and harm to the hearer in ways we don't even realize. This type of tongue demeans, devalues, and disrespects another person. An angry, harsh demeanor adds another layer to an already existing problem, which doesn't help solve it. It only makes matters worse. A harsh, offensive, grievous tongue uses the R words, rude and ruthless. This ruins a conversation and perhaps a conversation when it is continually done. An angry tongue uses the C words, callous and cruel. These cut into the heart and mind and can be remembered for a long time. An angry tongue displays the belief the means justify the end. In other words, whatever I have to say and however I have to say it to get my point across, well, that's all that matters in this situation. Something to keep in mind. Does anyone like to have angry, harsh words spewed out at them? We may have reasons for doing this, but then we give people reasons to withdraw from us. Most likely, we all have struggled with frustration that turned into angry, harsh words. No matter how young or old a person is, no matter what their title is, spouse, child, family member, friend, coworker, etc., no one likes to be spoken to in a harsh, offensive, angry way, regardless of the reason. Continued angry conversations build bitterness and resentment, either inwardly or shown outwardly. This especially happens within families where emotions run deep. Harsh words spoken in the heat of the moment can't be taken back. We can be forgiven. But so many times, these types of words are not forgotten. God warns us against talking in this way because it's destructive. We all know the quote, most likely. Although a tongue has no bones, it can easily break another person's heart. Let's talk about anger. James 1, verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So what does James 1:20 mean? The bottom line is this: anger just doesn't work. Anger is a condition that is unacceptable to God. We don't honor God when we give in to anger. Instead, we are elevating ourselves by talking the way we want to talk. Anger might make us feel better in the moment, but the long-term effects are lingering. Realistically, they might deserve our anger. Indeed, there are understandable reasons for speaking in an angry way. There can be many reasons why a person frustrates and angers us. We're just human, so why wouldn't we respond that way? But what should we do with our humanness? We can either be a harsh, angry, offensive talker, or we can be that human that refuses to respond in a way that isn't God's way with God's help. When we consider how we deserve God's anger for our sinful thoughts, words, actions, motives, behavior, habits that we fail at, but nonetheless God repeatedly shows us grace and patience, perhaps we should try to do the same for others that fail in their humanness. Sometimes this seems impossible or unfair or unrealistic or fill in the blank. The bottom line is sanctification or growing more and more in God's ways means we do what God tells us to do because we are to please Him instead of pleasing ourselves and doing what we want. Let's do PAT, practical application time. Here's four tools on how to overcome a harsh, angry tongue. First tool, take a breath when conversations get tough and remember the two choices. Gentle, soft responses or harsh, angry, grievous reactions. Which one will we choose? Because the one we choose shows if we pick God's way to use our tongue or our way. Psalm 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. The word cease means to be quiet. So cease from anger means to quiet ourselves by taking a breath before we speak. This gives us time to carefully choose the way God wants us to speak to someone. Second, choose God's way and not ours. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We show God we love him above ourselves by choosing his way of how we should talk. Third, don't let angry, harsh words come out of your mouth. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, so it may give grace to those who hear. The word let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth means to not permit. We are not to permit angry, harsh, corrupting talk to come out of our mouths. Angry and harsh speaking is corrupting speech because it's not encouraging, but rather it is discouraging. It tears down instead of builds up. It's not so much about what the problem is, but rather how we talk about the problem. Sometimes hard, firm things need to be said, but they don't need to be said in harsh, angry terms. Paul in the New Testament is indicating that we do have control over what we say. Let no corrupting talk out of your mouths. This contradicts the common excuse of, well, I just couldn't help what I said. According to the Bible, we are accountable for the words we use. Matthew 12, verse 36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. So Christians are required to have control of their words. The goal is to honor God with our speech. The intent is to benefit a conversation instead of cause damage. God holds us accountable for that. Fourth, pray for God to transform us. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We will make mistakes with our tongue, but We must continually ask God to help us speak in a way that is acceptable in His sight. What is not acceptable is harsh, angry words because they are detrimental. To balance this out, to speak in a soft, gentle, kind, and considerate way does not mean we can never speak firmly. God says we are to speak the truth, even hard truth, in love. He says we should correct and rebuke when necessary. At times we should address the wrong and not minimize it. But the key is to not forsake kindness in frustrating situations or hard conversations. The main thing is we don't mingle what needs to be addressed with rudeness. Realistically speaking, others may be angry with us when we say hard things, even in a good way. They may think we're being harsh, when in reality, some things are hard to hear, no matter how well they are spoken. We are only responsible for ourselves. We are not responsible for the way another person chooses to speak to us. They have their responsibility and we have ours. We can choose to have harsh anger or a gentleness in conversations, and so do they. But their angry, harsh words should not drive our choice to do likewise. Choosing God's way regardless is the wisest choice. What about being around a continually angry person? Proverbs 22, verses 24 through 25. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. So what does this verse mean? Just what it says. Do not be around a person that has an anger problem and isn't working at overcoming it. God says, do not be around that person. Why not? Because we are warned we will learn his ways by being influenced by him. How? Because their anger will snare us to be an angry person like them, or think we deserve their anger. That doesn't mean we should never interact with anyone who has a temper. Rather, we avoid conversations that could lead to their temper with them as much as possible, and most certainly don't respond to them with anger. This only makes matters worse for both parties. When dealing with family members we live with, we need to minimize the time we talk to them or what we talk to them about because of their anger. Many times it's best to remove ourselves from their presence in a gracious but firm way so anger doesn't escalate. What did God say? We are to get away from an angry person. Sometimes we readdress a problem when people have settled down, and the common goal of not speaking and anger and harshness is agreed upon. If it's family members we don't live with, we must consider the amount of time spent with any angry person, because God tells us to not associate with them. He didn't make an exception because they were a family member. We can speak to them with caution, but when we see the very beginning of anger and harshness, we withdraw and excuse ourselves from the conversation. God tells us to not associate with them by taking part of anger and harshness, either them doing it to us or us responding to them in that manner. We pray for people who are in the habit of being angry and be cordial to them. But our time with them needs to be limited or not be around them at all as we obey God's warning regarding this. This does not mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we are being judgmental of them. It just means we are using God's wisdom as He warns us because of a possible outcome. Look at these verses on strife versus peace. Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife. An angry person is going to cause strife in a conversation. God tells us to get away from them and instead pursue peace. Romans 14, verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So what makes for peace? Getting away from an angry person or not engaging with them in conversations that lead to anger. Getting back to the verse, we started in Proverbs. Are Proverbs promises, such as Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger? Proverbs gives God's guidance for wise living along with warnings. He tells of the consequences and the blessings for our choices. But are we promised a blessing for every time with every person in every situation when we follow the advice of a proverb? Can't I conclude? If I do this, then I'm guaranteed a blessing. I'm promised good benefits every time I apply these proverbs with every person, right? And the answer is no. A biblical proverb does not equate a promise. Proverbs do not intend to offer a foolproof guarantee in all situations, at all times, with all people. Yes, we should apply God's wisdom found in Proverbs, but we do not know the ultimate, eventual outcome. That's God's choice in His way and in His timing that we don't always see or understand in the moment. We don't do a proverb to get something. We do a proverb to surrender to God's ways. It's that simple. We do it simply because we trust Him regardless of the outcome that we see or don't see. What we do need to remember about Proverbs is that our obedience produces blessings somehow and someday. Let's look at some examples. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Does it mean that a soft answer will always turn away wrath? No, because we have to consider a person's free will. Even if we give a soft answer, the other person still has the choice to either respond in anger or in gentleness. Just because we follow a proverb does not mean that God forces the other person to do likewise so that the anger goes away. And look at this example. Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Does this mean that any enemy you have at any time and in any circumstance will always be at peace with you 100% of the time? In each situation and with every person? No. For example, let's look at this. Many of Jesus' faithful followers were martyred by their enemies, even though they were trying to be peaceful while sharing their beliefs. God does not force all people to make a peaceful choice toward us. The hope is that they will, so God can bless all involved. But they have a free will, just like we do. Just think of family members, of family situations where a person is trying to pursue peace, but another family member is continually causing strife. Look at this verse. Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So here God shows the balance in Scripture. Our ways can please the Lord, but in some cases, it doesn't depend on us to have peace in relationships. This is because others are unwilling to do whatever is necessary to resolve conflict. So it also depends on them and not only on us. To pursue peace, we don't keep engaging in conversations that are angry and harsh, that constantly bring conflict and confusion. It's not possible to have peace in these situations. On an end note about Proverbs, God's sovereignty stands behind all His word. It would be foolish to think God's ways don't work because we don't get the result we want every time with every person in our timeline and in our way. We can rest assured by trusting God knows what He is doing, even when we don't see Him doing it. Therefore, we follow the advice of Proverbs because we know our efforts are important to God regardless if we see the good. God is good and He does good. We just don't always realize it. Let's quickly recap practical application tools. First tool, take a breath to release anger. Instead of breathing out angry words, choose gentle, soft words, but not harsh, angry, grievous ones. Remember to respond God's way and not react your way. Second tool, choose God's way of how to respond instead of doing things our way and reacting when we are frustrated. Love God more than we love letting our anger out. It's not about us and it's not about them. It's about us choosing to love God. Third tool, don't let angry, harsh words come out of our mouth. God requires we have self-control with the use of our tongue. Fourth tool, pray for God to transform the way we use our mouth. We definitely need His power and grace to change the way we use our tongue. Just don't give up. God helps us to get better and better. Fifth tool, choose to be peaceable and not angry. Don't be an angry person and don't continually engage in conversations with an angry person. Neither of these produce peaceable relationships. If you are frustrated and angry, the best thing to do is get away with God, pray about it, ask Him to help you calm down so you can respond in a way that is pleasing to Him. Now, I'm going to end by reading some verses that show how God thinks about anger and how He wants us to deal with it. This is not about us feeling guilty. It's just about us realizing how anger can have the potential of diminishing or destroying a relationship. And therefore, we try to be intentional about having God help us to be patient conversationalists. Proverbs 14, verse 17, a man of quick temper acts foolishly. Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel. Anger is overwhelming. Psalm 37, verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Proverbs 12, verse 16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Proverbs 29, verse 8, the wise turn away wrath. Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.